Yes, wonderful to be among such cultured people doing your gin and jazz. I do like a bit of gin, actually. It is quite tasty. And I'll look forward to mine after I do this. So I've just got one question for you tonight. I've got one question, and it's this. What do you think life is? Is life a comedy or is it a tragedy? What do you reckon? What is life? Is life a comedy? Oh, there's some people, they're on their third gin. It's definitely a comedy. When you're on your seventh gin, you might start to think it's a tragedy. I don't know. But now that question, actually, it has a technical meaning because comedy and tragedy have technical meanings. I don't know if you know this, but in literature, Dante said that a comedy is a story that begins in pain, but it ends in joy, right? Begins in pain, ends in joy. So it's shaped like a smiley face, so that's how you can remember it, right? A comedy is shaped like a smile. On the other hand, Dante said that a tragedy is a story that begins in joy and ends in pain. And you think, oh dear, the frowny face, okay? That's what life is according to Dante. Or you come to Shakespeare and you say, Shakespeare, what is a comedy? And again, it's very important that you realize that the comedy has a technical meaning. It's not about how leathery your hands and thighs have become from being slapped together so much because of all the ribaldrous humor that Shakespeare has been dishing out. Because I don't know if your experience of GCSE history was anything like mine, but I remember my teacher telling me, you know, at this point, Hamlet is telling a joke. And I wrote that down in my exercise book. At this point, Hamlet is telling a joke, apparently. And I put that in the exam and I passed. So apparently he was making a joke. But this is the thing with Shakespeare. All the jokes have to be flagged up, right? But a comedy or a tragedy is not about how many jokes there are in the story. It's about the ending, right? So at the end of Hamlet, all the actors are piled up on the stage trying to look like they're not breathing because they've just had this epic sort of sword-fighting duel and the stage is heaving with the dead. And at that stage, you think, ah, tragedy, right? No matter how many jokes have been told along the way, if the story ends in pain, if it ends with a funeral, it's a tragedy. On the other hand, how do you know what a Shakespeare comedy is? Again, it's not because you've been laughing out loud so much, right? It is because at the end of the Shakespeare comedy, there is always, anybody know what happens at the end of a Shakespeare comedy? Wedding. 10 points in control of round three. That's great. A wedding. Sometimes four weddings at the end of a Shakespearean comedy. All 14 of Shakespeare's comedies end with a wedding. That is the great happily ever after. So now we've got our technical meanings in place. We know what a tragedy is. It's shaped like a frown. We know what a comedy is. It's shaped like a smile. So now my question is, what is life? Is life a tragedy or is it a comedy? If it ends in death, it's got to be a tragedy, right? There's some Did we all hear that? He said if it ends in marriage, it should be called a tragedy. One of the great things about All Saints is that they do great marriage counseling. It really is very, very strong here. We know what you mean. We all know what you mean, especially the marrieds. But technically speaking, if a story ends in a wedding, it's a comedy. If it ends in a funeral, it's a tragedy. What does your life end in? If Shakespeare was to write the story of your life, what would English literature students call your life? They'd actually call it a tragedy. Which is not to say that your life is not full of all kinds of fun and feasting and food and festivities and achievements and joy and all kinds of grand adventures. It's not to say that life cannot be a wonderful adventure, but if it ends in a funeral, technically speaking, it is a tragedy. But tonight, I want to give you the good news, okay? The good news is life doesn't have to be a tragedy. That actually, if you read through the Bible, at the very end of the Bible, there is not a funeral. At the very end of the Bible, there's actually a wedding. And it is the consummation of everything that the Bible's been talking about. From the very first verse of the Bible, I don't know if you know the very first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And heavens, in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, heavens is masculine, and earth is feminine. It works the same in Greek, the language of the New Testament. It works in all the Romance languages. In any language in which the nouns have genders, the heavens are masculine, the earth is feminine. And on the very first page of the Bible, as we're introduced to heaven and earth, we're meant to be thinking, huh, those two should get together, right? There should be some kind of romance. And by the end of page one, you've got Adam and Eve, these icons of heaven and earth, and they are meant to get together and be fruitful and multiply. And then you read through the Old Testament, and it's all about God and his people are like a husband and a wife. And you come into the New Testament, and Jesus calls himself the great bridegroom. And you go reading through the letters of the New Testament. It starts talking about this romance that Christ has given himself for us, like the great husband giving himself for a bride who might be a pauper, and he pays off her debts and gives her his riches, and they become one. And at the very end of the Bible, it ends with a wedding, the union of heaven and earth, that thing that was promised right from the first verse of the Bible. The Bible is actually telling you a comedy. Again, it's not that the Bible is full of so many gags, right? It's not that your hands and thighs are leathery from being slapped together, right? But through the valley of the shadow of death, up you come into feasting joy. And actually, in the Bible, you might know there's the Gospels, these good news accounts of who Jesus is. There's these biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're giving away these Mark's Gospels. You'd be welcome to take one after this. The word gospel just means good news, right? So as people are telling you the story of Jesus, they're saying, hey, everybody, you don't have to live the tragedy. Things don't have to end with the funeral. There is good news. And in fact, Mark's gospel begins by saying this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is good news. This is telling you the comedy. And here is the shape of the comedy. Jesus says in this book, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, as Jesus speaks, he says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's Jesus' picture. His picture is that he is the one from on high, the Son of God, who did not come to be served. He did not come to live the tragic life of climbing up on top in this world, trying to take and grab and scratch and get. And he didn't live that tragic life of trying to get others to serve him. He lived the life of service. He says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is what Jesus has come to do. He's come to enter into the pit of our tragedy, to take it on himself on the cross, and then to rise up again to light and life and love. And he invites us into that same shape. So Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, in this very same book, here's the beautiful news that Jesus gives to all of us. He says, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. He's basically coming to planet Earth and he's saying, look, we're all living the tragedy. We've all resigned ourselves to this tragic shape of life where we just try to climb up in this world, grab all that we can, enjoy our brief moment in the sun, and then, sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. What am I doing wrong? Is that better? Okay. I just won't move. I will stay absolutely still. Oh, dear. Sorry. Is someone running towards me? What if I take this off? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I should use this? Yeah? And can we turn this off? Thank you. Great. Turn it off? Okay, I'll just unplug it. Okay. Kill the sound! Kill it dead! Right? Okay. Brilliant. Okay. And I don't even know what's happening anymore. Never mind. Where were we? What was I talking about? It was a great joke about marriage at the end. That's the last thing I remember. Is that the last thing you remember? Marriage is a tragedy. Okay. Life is... What is going on? What is going on? Can we kill this? I'm killing this.
Right.
And is this what this... Ooh, okay. Oh, it's a bit of a Barry White kind of theme going on. Okay, here we go. Nice. Bit of bass. Otherwise, I'm very treble. I'm very aware of how the Australian accent is very treble. It's really up there. It just kind of pierces through in that nasal twang. But this gives me a little bit more richness. That's good. So,
Where was I? What are we talking about? Okay. Tragedy comedy. We live the tragedy, right? We live this life of trying to climb up and get and grab and take and be all that we can be and enjoy our brief moment in the sun, and then we tumble down into the grave. That's the tragic life. And Jesus comes and he says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent and believe the good news. There's actually good news, right? And when he says repent, he's just saying turn that thing upside down, right? Turn that frown upside down. You've been living the life of just grabbing and taking and getting on top. And he says, you don't need to do that. Because Jesus has plumbed our depths, he's taken our tragedy, and he's risen again to give us his comedy. And now he says, just stop doing the tragic thing. Reject that tragic thing of climbing and grabbing and taking and that selfish life. And he says instead, embrace me and embrace my way of service and sacrifice and going through that valley of the shadow and out again into feasting joy. But Jesus absolutely pioneers a path through death and out the other side, which means that tonight it's not just a last hurrah before the grave. Because tonight's great. Like we all love tonight. We all love gin and jazz. And we all love face-to-face relationships and the joy that comes with it. And we love this communion together. We love fellowship and friendship and feasting together. We love all that stuff. But if you think that life is a tragedy, then you think this is as good as it gets. This is a last hurrah before the inevitable. And I want to invite you to think that, you know, tonight is not a last hurrah. Tonight is a foretaste. It's a foretaste of a future feast. Tonight is not just the thin layer of glaze on the dead rubble of this world. Tonight is first fruits. Tonight is a foretaste of a coming feast where Jesus promises that there is a future of face-to-face and joy and music and laughter. There'll be feasting joy forever with Jesus. So he comes to planet Earth and he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time has come. Repent and believe the good news. Do you want to investigate more of that good news? Because we don't want to just think that tonight is a last hurrah. Wouldn't it be amazing to think that tonight is just a foretaste of something even grander, even deeper, even more enduring? Jesus invites you to believe the comedy. So there's some ways that you can do that. This weekend we're putting on all sorts of events where you can come and ask your questions about Jesus and think together with us about who this Jesus is. Can he be trusted? Did he really die on that cross? Did he really rise again? Can he really promise me the happily ever after? You can ask all those questions. We'd love to wrestle with those questions with you. But why don't you keep asking them this weekend? And Sunday, I'll be back here. Will you be back here? 9:15, 10:45. Is that the times? Yeah, 9:15. That's right. That's when I'm coming. So, I'll be here at 9:15, 10:45. Oh, there we go. And there's a 7 p.m. as well on Sunday. Why don't you come and keep asking those questions? We're also putting on this course called Life Explored that goes through at greater length who this Jesus is and how he can offer us the happily ever after. Ask us about the great course Life Explored, and we'll put that on for you in the new year. And then if you want to just brush up on what I've just been talking about tonight, there's a little book called Divine Comedy. What is life? Comedy or tragedy? I'd love to give you this as a gift at the end, so do come and see me afterwards. Thanks so much for listening all throughout this. It's never ending, isn't it? The sound issues. But I think we've survived. Why don't we just give ourselves a round of applause for surviving? And back to Jenny. Thank you.